morning, Church on the Rock.
We got so many people, that's not acceptable. That is not acceptable. Nope. We need to be much louder than that. I want people to hear this out of state. I want people to hear this. I want heaven to hear this. I want heaven to hear this so we can get going. So let's do that one more time. Good morning, Church on the Rock. Yes, Lord, let's get it going. We are starting our final month series before we go to two services. The name of this series is going to be called Too Soon. Too Soon. T-W-O, Too Soon. What I want you to do is, I want you, every time you post anything about Church on the Rock, please hashtag that right there. I want people fired up about this two services, because as you can see, we are running out of room to provide for those who are in the community who need to be loved. We are running out of room to be able to do what we're called to do because God keeps adding to the numbers. So anytime you post anything Church on the Rock this month, post the hashtag. There's going to be a lot of that today, okay? Use the hashtag too soon. I really want us fired up for this. And this month, we're just going to be talking through different stories of faith that we see in the Bible, because there's a lot of people in the congregation, in the church family, who actually think it's T-O-O soon. It's too soon to go to two services. But if you look around, I mean, we got to go to two services, right? Like, I'm sorry, it's not too soon. But we do want to be mindful of your fears, your concerns, your worries. We don't just want to keep moving and not think about those who are like, I'm a little worried about what that's going to look like. So we just want to encourage you for the remainder of the month, March. We want to encourage you for the month of March on why we're going to two services. And we want to use different stories in the Bible to show that. Today, we're going to be in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. So we're going to read that first, and then we're going to walk through it. We're going to break it down. And I want everybody to know this. Because we're going to two services, I can't do 55-minute sermons. So I'm looking at the time. Everybody look back real quick. It's going on 10:10, okay? I will be done before 11. I'll be done before 11. All right, so let's get to the scripture. It says, now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him being Jesus, and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. Keep going. It says, and he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, that's Jesus, which was Simon's, who is actually what many of you know as Peter, and asked him to put out a little way from the land, and he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets. When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. Look at this. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat, because one boat wasn't enough. I'm going to get to that. They signaled to the partners in the other boat for them to come and help, and they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, he said, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men. Amen. And then when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. So this is going to be the scripture that we're in. We're really not going to jump around. We're going to unpack this thing starting right around verse 3 or 4. I want to give a little bit of context here. Chapter 5 in Luke comes right after Luke chapter 4, where he's doing a lot of miracles. One of those miracles was he went into Peter's house and healed his mother-in-law, who was very sick. Healed his mother-in-law supernaturally, very sick, and his mother-in-law hopped up and started serving. After that, you see at the end of the chapter, everybody in that area that he was doing these miracles, they said, they went out seeking him, and they found him and said, we want you to stay with us. We want you to stay with us. Don't leave. Stay with us. Don't go anywhere. We just want you all to ourselves. And he responded to them, and he said, I must go out because that is my purpose. And it just really hit me, and it kind of opens up Luke 5:1, because when you think about where we're at, that's where some of our fears are. We're like, man, we love this. We like the way it looks and it feels right now. We just want this all to ourselves. We want to box this in and just kind of hold on to this. But the purpose of the church is to go out and make disciples of the multitudes, of the nations. It's just so much more than just this service right here, so much more than even two services. It's a Monday thing, a Tuesday thing, a Wednesday thing. It's so much more than just what's going on here. And if you're satisfied with the one service, you're probably satisfied with the one day of the week as well. Yeah, that one hurt me too, so... We're going to start with Luke 5:1 and just read up to where we're going to get started here. Basically, what I'm asking today is we've talked about what we need to do. We need to go to two services. We've talked about why we need to go to two services. And today, I just want to speak about how we do that. Like, how do we get ourselves in the right mindset? What does it take from us individually to get to this point? So once again, now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. Keep going. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. So a little bit of history here. The fishermen fished at night. I don't know a whole lot about fishing, but I know how to read. So I was reading, and I found out that the best time of fishing is like overnight or early in the morning, but not in the middle of the day, not in the middle of the day. So they were done working. They were done, tired. We've been out all night. Keep going. And then he goes, it says that he got into one of the boats, the one that was Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the land, and he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. Let's start right there. My first point is this. This is what we got to do to be able to go to two services. It starts with a personal relationship. Write that one down. It starts with a personal relationship. Simon had a personal relationship with Jesus, right? So when Jesus got in the boat, Simon already knew something about Jesus. He had this personal relationship with Jesus. I want to stop right there and just look at that boat analogy real quick. Think about your lives real quick. Can Jesus come into your boat and have access to everything, have control of everything? Has anybody seen Captain Phillips? Anybody seen Captain Phillips with Tom Hanks? Anybody? Has anybody seen this line where he goes, Captain Phillips is like a Navy person. He runs a boat, and these Somali pirates come, and they take over the boat. You remember that part? Okay. And when they take over the boat, what does the little black dude say? He says, "I'm the captain now." Y'all remember that? He's like, "I'm the captain. Look at me. I'm the captain now," right? And it's just crazy. But when I was reading this, Jesus got into the boat with Peter, right? And immediately made a command. "Hey, put out a little bit so I can teach. Like, I know you're tired. I know you've been at work all night. I know you've been at work all night. I know you got a lot going on, but I need to preach this word. I need to teach this word. Let me into your boat and let me be the captain." Some of you have a relationship with Jesus, but you won't let him be in control. Some of you will allow Jesus into the boat, but you won't let him be the captain. Think about it. I mean, we got God's word, and we can just read what he wants, what he's asking us to do. We can just read what he's telling us to do. "Hey, let out go back to that verse, let out from the land a little bit so I can teach," but we don't want to give up control of the boat. You can come in my boat so I can feel like, you know, I'm a good old Christian. You can come in my boat so I can say a couple things and post a couple things. But when it actually comes time for me to follow what you're telling me to do, when it actually comes time for me to respond to what you're telling me to do, that's when the relationship stops, don't it? Don't it? He says the fishermen had gotten out of them and they were washing their nets, so they're tired. Go to verse 3. And then when he gets in the boat, he asked him to do something right then and there. Now, this is my boat. This is my boat. How you gonna get in my boat and tell me what to do unless you are Jesus, right? Unless you are Jesus. But we don't live that way, do we? We don't live that way. This is what we do. We're all Jesus. "Jesus, set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. All right, stop sleeping outside of marriage." Whoa. Okay, stop living in sin. Whoa. Okay, stop doing this. Just do with the captain of the ship. "Well, Jesus, I want a co-captain. I don't want you in control. I want a co-captain. I just want people to know that I know you. I don't actually want to surrender to you. I don't want to actually do what you say when you get in the boat and you tell me, I'm tired. I've been working all night." You see how that works real quick? And so it starts with your personal relationship. Where are you at in your relationship with Jesus? What position does he have in your boat? Is he even in your boat? Some of you here don't even have Jesus in your boat. You're just here because you was dragged here. You're just here because it looks good on Sunday morning. You're just here. You're not here because he's actually in the boat. You just want to be known for knowing Jesus, but you're not actually following. You're not actually surrendering. So what does that look like in your life individually? Because you know what? It's hard to surrender to doing anything on faith if you don't have that relationship with Jesus. Anything. I would be very scared of going to two services if I don't have that relationship with Jesus. Very, very scared. I'm up here preaching right now based on my relationship with Jesus. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I've been working all week, literally, and Jesus got in my boat this morning and said, boy, you better get up and preach that sermon. So I'm up here preaching the sermon. So look at this. He sat down and began teaching people from the boat. Go to the next verse, and this is what we see right here. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for the catch. So the first thing is this right here. You have to have a relationship with Jesus, a personal relationship with Jesus. Anything we're doing here, and there's a lot of people here, but anything we're doing here, it is simply for your relationship with Jesus. I just want to pause one moment. We're excited about two services, we really are, but not because of adding numbers and people. We want souls added to the kingdom. That's all we want. All we want is souls added to the kingdom. However God wants to do that, we simply want to increase the kingdom, not Church on the Rock numbers. And I mean that. I mean that. I want you to have a personal relationship with Jesus, not Rashad Cunningham. Knowing me, sitting down with me, that's great, and I can guide you, but I'm a horrible savior. I really am. I'm late all the time. He's always on time. Right? I'm not. I'm a horrible savior. But this relationship with Jesus consists of this, not just letting him in the boat, but letting him control what you do with the boat. And that's where we start failing in the relationship with Jesus. We are all about letting him in because we believe if we let him in the boat, we're saved. You know, he's a savior. We call that fire insurance, right? I got fire insurance. I'm going to heaven because I let him in the boat. But Jesus says, no. Lord and savior. I can't just be in the boat. I have to be the captain of the ship. Have you allowed him to be the captain of the ship? And not just on Sunday morning when you're singing, set a fire down in my soul. Is he captain of the ship in the morning? After church? Wednesday? When your children get on your nerves? When your spouse gets on your nerves? Is he still captain of the ship? When he says in his word, don't get a divorce, that's not what I want. Is he the captain of the ship when your husband or your wife is on your last nerves? Is he still captain of the ship? Is he captain of the ship when he says, go out, make disciples, no matter what's going on in your life, and you have something going on in your life, and all of a sudden he's not captain anymore because you've allowed your fears and your failures and anything else to take away from the mission? Is he still the captain of the ship when things aren't going right? Because it's easy to call him captain of the ship when everything's good. Yes, Jesus. Amen. Take the wheel, Jesus, because we on cruise control anyway. But what happens when you hit one of them Indianapolis potholes? What happens when you hit one of them Indianapolis potholes and your whole life is rearranged and you're tired and blown metaphor, you know, in this analogy, your tire is blown. What happens then? Is he still captain of the ship? Is he still in control of that ship? Is he still the one that you obey and you live by his commands? Why? Not because you're legalistic, but a messed up relationship. I mean, it's just like any relationship. If I tell my wife I love her, but I don't show it, what is that? If I tell my wife I love her, but then I disobey anything that she has asked me to do as a husband, or anything that the word has asked me to do as a husband, do I truly love her? No, of course not. So how can we say I love Jesus and I've let him in my ship and he's told me to do these things to just let out from the land just a little bit, but I can't even do that, let alone go to the deep water, right? So it starts off with this personal relationship. It starts with a personal relationship, and then it leads to this. It leads to a proper response. It leads to a proper response. It starts with a personal relationship with Jesus. I've allowed Jesus in my boat. I've told him he's the captain. So now how am I going to respond? So Jesus says, okay, I'm done teaching. Hey, Peter, Simon, can you go off a little bit more into the deep waters? See, we were in the shallow waters when we started, bro. Now we're going to the deep waters, okay? We're going to the deep waters. Now, like, do you swim? Do you swim a little bit? All right. See, I wasn't that good of a swimmer, right? I was good at the 3 feet part, right? Like, I'm like, yo, I'm doing it. I'm getting it in at the 3 feet, right? And then they're like, okay, let's go to the 12 feet. All right, I'm a little more nervous about the 12 feet. I've never been into 12 feet. I'm going into the deep waters. They showed me how to do all this stuff in the shallow waters, but I'm not sure if it's going to work in the deep waters. So Jesus says, hey, I did this in the shallow. I said go out to the shallow. Just go out just a little bit. But now we're about to go out into the deep. Now, how did Peter respond? What was the proper response of Peter? Go to the next verse right there, Leah. Go to the next verse. I want you to see this. That's not the next verse right there. That's not the next verse. Luke 5:5. Luke 5:5 should start where that's at right there. So in Luke 5:5, Simon, you had it. There you go. Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. Now, this is a lot of us right here, okay? This is actually not the proper response, but this is a real response. See, when we go to two services, some of you are going to be like, man, I worked hard all night. Or, man, I just served twice last week. Or, man, and we have all of these eyes. Trust me, I do it myself. Look what Peter said. He said, we've worked hard all night. Like, man, I'm tired, bro. Like, I've worked all night, and here you done got in my ship, and you're telling me I need to do this and do. Man, I've been working all night, and you start seeing this pride thing, right? All about me and my working, all about my boat, all about the job that I got right now that I wouldn't have unless you blessed me with it anyway, but it's all about me. It's all about I. I wouldn't be able to get to church if I didn't have my health. I wouldn't be able to get to church if I didn't have that car. I wouldn't be able to get to church if you didn't land me in the church that I love and I'm growing in, but I've been working hard all night. I haven't caught nothing. Matter of fact, let's go to the relationships real quick because I've been dealing with a lot of relationships. Check this out. How does that look when we say, Father, I know you told me to stay with my husband, stay with my wife, but I can't take this no more. But I think, but I feel, but I, and he's like, hold on, I thought I was captain of the ship. I thought I was the captain of the ship. And you was cool right here in these shallow waters, but now we're going into the deep because you're going through some things with your spouse, and you just want to run? And you just want to jump out? And you just want to give up? Because I've been working so hard at this relationship. I've been working so hard at this marriage. But it says in the Bible that even if your spouse is in disobedience, your example could win them over. So keep loving them. Stay the course. Well, that's when you start losing the relationship again. So it takes a proper response. And I love how Peter kind of shows us the reality of his humanness. Master, we've been working hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets. You see that? You see that term? That but negates everything that he just said. I got a couple of excuses right now. I'm tired. I don't feel good. I'm exhausted. I'm this. But I'm going to do as you say because you are the Lord, not me. Right? And even though it doesn't make sense to me, once again, I went out at the prime time to catch fish. I was out there, Jeff, to catch fish in the prime time, and we got nothing. Now you're telling me to go out in the middle of the day? I'm a fisherman. You're a carpenter. You're a carpenter, bro. I'm a fisherman. I went out at night, the prime time, in the prime area, and we got nothing, man, but you want me to go back out in the middle of the day? All right, bro. I whatever you say. And that's how I feel sometimes, right? Like sometimes it's hard to let him be the Lord because you're so focused on your logic. Amen. Sometimes you've thought things logically through and you're like, this just doesn't add up. Well, guess what? Overcoming cancer doesn't add up. The doctors will say this, the doctors will say that. And then the Lord intervenes and says, go out a little deeper and cast your net. Don't worry about that. I got this. Whatever was the prime time, I make the prime time. You don't make the prime time. I make the prime time. And I love these shirts, fight like a girl. But Cameron, when I've been praying for you, I've been praying that she fights like a believer. Why? Because a believer fights like this. This is what a believer says. A believer looks at it and says, not by my pride, not by my strength, but by God. It's not my fight. Everything on her Facebook page, Aaron, is this is how Cameron fights her battles. And all you've been seeing is prayer and scriptures and people lifting it up to God. All you've been seeing is people stepping up and doing whatever God told them to do, no matter how tired they are, right? No matter how worn out they are, no matter how much it stretched them, we're like, we believe this is how God is moving, and we're moving with him, right? So this is what Peter's saying right there. He says, Master, we've been working hard all night. It's not, you a carpenter, I'm a fisherman. I mean, logically, it just doesn't make sense what you're saying. But he believed in the Lord over his logic, the Savior over his situation, and the faith over his foolishness. And he said, since you said it, I'm going to do it. How many of you actually live a life like that? Since you said it, I'm going to do it. A lot of us want to justify everything or try to work around the scriptures or try to twist it up or try to compartmentalize it or try to eisegete it and say, well, I mean, did he really mean that I can't be in relations outside of him? I mean, did he really mean that? Did he really? Yeah, that's exactly what he said it right here in his word. So what happens is, I love how Peter looks at this, and he's like, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I'm going to do as you say. You see, your expertise, your emotions, everything that you think you've done, it means nothing if he's not involved. We could put all kinds of stuff together here. We could do all kinds of door hangers. We could go knocking on doors. We could do all kinds of events, all kinds of new ministries, all kinds of gimmicks, and if God is not a part of it, we ain't gonna catch nothing. We're not gonna have nothing. We could work hard all night and we won't have, you could be working hard all night in your homes. You could be working hard in your marriage saying, I'm trying with everything I can to hold on to my man, hold on to my woman. I'm trying to fight these addictions with alcohol, addictions with drugs. I'm trying to do whatever you're up against. And if you're doing it without God, your efforts are kind of pointless. So as I look at Peter, I'm seeing this, man. He's been working hard all night. He caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets. Can you live a life like that? Can you actually live a life like that where you are just simply saying, it doesn't make sense, but I'm going to do what the Bible says because that's what God said for me to do, and he's the Lord of my ship. He's the captain of my ship. So when he says move, I'm going to move. There used to be a hip-hop song, when I move, you move. Just like that, right? Right? Somebody had it over there. Just like that, right? And that's what it is. Like, when the Lord moves, you move. Just like that. When he says, do this, you do that. Just like that. Not so that you have this book of a whole bunch of rules to make your life boring, but rather an instruction manual to live an abundant life. An abundant life. It's not a rule book. It's an instruction manual for the one who created life. Like I've always wondered this. If something goes wrong in my house, for example, if there's a raccoon in my attic, y'all know how I feel about raccoons. If there's a raccoon in my attic, I don't call on the plumber, right? I call on James Walker. I call on James Walker. I'm like, James, need you back over here, man. Set the trap. Get up in there. Because James knows what he's doing. So I'm just saying like this, though. Why do we call on everything and everybody else for life when the one who created life is right here in his word telling us how to live it? That doesn't make any sense to me. If I got a tooth problem, I don't go to the ear doctor. If I got a toe problem, I'm just naming stuff now. Excuse me, I'm just going through some things right now. If I got any problems, I go to the person who can fix the problem, right? I go to the problem solver, right? So why, when I'm having life problems, do I go to anything or anyone else except for my father, the problem solver? It doesn't even add up. It doesn't even make sense. And he says, I've answered all those problems in my word. You just read it and do what it says. But we got that ego of, I ain't got to read the instructions. Then wonder why everything's looking all jacked up when you put it together, right? You're like, why is this over here and why I got extra parts over here? Because you didn't read the manual. You didn't read the manual. So keep going. Verse 6 says this. It says, when they had done this. So look at this. This miracle that's about to happen didn't happen until they moved. You see that? The miracle didn't happen until they moved. It says when they had done this, when they did what? When they had done exactly what Jesus told them to do. That's when the miracle happened. Some of y'all waiting on the miracle but don't want to move. Y'all like, man, I just need God to show up. And he's like, okay, move. Man, I just want God to, I just feel like, man, God, if you would just, he's like, move. You got to move so I can bless that, because the movement is faith. Like, remember, he said, I just went out and I caught nothing, Dave. I caught nothing. I went out in the middle of the night, the peak time, and I caught nothing. What do you mean I need to go back out? But you, Jesus, you the Lord of my ship, you the captain. So I'm going to move on what you said. And when I move, that's when the miracle happened. See, some of y'all didn't got stuck in your past results. You're looking at what's happened in the past when you did it on your own effort. You're looking at what happened in the past when you did it by your own expertise. And you're like, well, I'm not going to do it again. I just did that. The pastor just said, hey, the Bible says that. Well, I just did it. Well, did you do it on faith or did you do it on fear? What moved you? Did you move because you felt like God was a part of this, or did you just move just to move? The movement led to the miracle. It says when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish and their nets began to break. Look at that. That was the proper response. Look, I got some doubts, God. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm going to cast all my doubts, all my fears to you. But because of what your word says, I'm going to move on your word. I'm not going to walk on water. I'm going to walk on your word. Remember, he never said walk on the water. He just said come. Walk on my word, right? So look at this. So look at this right here. So now the miracle's happening. And what happens? The nets begin to break. Keep going. And then it says, so they signaled to their partners. In other words, it was such a great catch. They couldn't do it alone. They couldn't. It was so many fish, Thomas. They like, yo, we need more people. Partners. Now I ask you this as a pastor. Those of you who are members of Church on the Rock, I got to ask a question. Are you my partner? Are you my partner, or am I up here, am I moving this? Am I catching these fish by myself? Are you actually my part? Are you partnered in with me? When you joined this church, did you agree to become a partner? A partner in this ministry. Not a peon, not somebody under me, but somebody with me, side by side with me, gifted in areas I'm not gifted in, so we can pull up this net together. Because I'm telling you, it's getting way too heavy up here. It's getting way too heavy. I cannot pull up what God is bringing in these doors by myself. I need some partners. I need some partners. You gonna stand up for that one, Phil? Thank you. I'm standing up too, bro. I need some partners. I need some partners in this church. I mean that. I need some partners in this church. I need people as sold out for what God is doing as I am. Why? Because this is what we see in the Bible. We see some Peter and the group that was in that boat, they moved on faith and a miracle happened. And when the miracle happened, what did they do? They looked at the partners and said, hey, that's why I love what the Woodrings got going on here. Like they here they are in Pennsylvania. Things lead them here, and they're here for a while. And when things start shaking up because of what's going on and the enemy's working, we call out to the partners. The Allens called out to their partners. Hey, we need to stay down here with Cameron. We need a partner. We need a partner, and the Woodrings stepped up and were staying with the other children so that they could handle this load together. Look at that. They signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help. And here's the proper response. And they came. I'm crying out for help right now. We can't do two services without all hands on deck. We can't. We can't do two services without partners. We can't. And it's not just Sunday morning partners. I mean, it's loving people after Sunday morning. You see, it's nothing to run two services. We can figure that out, but people will get lost throughout the week. They'll be like, hey, I enjoyed Sunday, but nobody checked in on me on Wednesday when my life was upside down. Hey, I enjoyed Sunday, but nobody prayed for me or called and checked in on me on Thursday when I was ready to walk out of my marriage. And if we got one Peter or one boat trying to do all of that, eventually somebody's going to get overlooked, and then you're just another big church where people are running away saying, well, I enjoyed it until it got too big because people stopped caring about the individuals. We need partners to come in and actually be fired up for this. If you're not fired up for this, you need to be reaching out to us now, because we're making this move expecting that as God continues to increase the fish that we are catching, you will be partnered in to help us lift this load. That's why we're making this move. We believe that you believe what we're doing as well. We believe that you're all in as well. We believe that you are as fired up for doing the mission that God has called the church to do as we are. We're not going to stop loving you. In fact, we want to kind of stand back and coach you and raise you up to be a greater leader as you raise up others. But we need you all in. We need you all in on everything. We need you just finding ways to communicate with others, just how to love others, going to these 5-9 families so that we grow smaller as we grow larger. You can be overlooked in this congregation right now, but if you go to a 5-9 family, you will not be overlooked. That's why we put them in place. So that as God continues to do what he does, you have somebody specifically who's watching over you within this big family. But you got to be partnered in for that. So it's not just about your personal relationship. That's where it starts. It leads to a proper response, and it ends with a praise report. It ends with a praise report. If you follow through this, when we go to 2 services, we ain't going to have nothing but shout and joy and everything going on. Look at this. Let's go to verse 8. Let's go to verse 8 in this Luke here. Luke 5, 8. Look what this says. It says right here, but when Simon Peter saw that, when Simon Peter saw this big catch, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. Stop right there. Did you notice that earlier in this he said master, and now he's calling him Lord? Those are actually two different words. Master's more like boss. Like, hey, boss, whatever you say, right? Hey, boss. But now he's calling him Lord. You see that shift? He's went from boss, master, teacher to Lord. He's went from master to Messiah. Because of what's happened, the praise report is he's responded and recognized who this man is that's in this boat. Like when we was over there, it was like 55 people, man, this is awesome, God, you're awesome. And then we got over here, 160-something people, this is awesome. And then I got up today, and I was like, Lord, you are, like you, I am not worthy of this. The miracles move something on the inside. It really moves anybody who's been here from day one. I'm sure you have been moved. Jason, you've been here from day one. Does this move you, bro? Does this move you? Does this make you like just go into this awe of like, Lord, I'm not worthy. I am a sinful man. And that's the beginning of the gospel. The miracle led to the beginning of the gospel. Like when we preach the gospel, we want you to get to this part right here. I am a sinful man. That's where it starts. I'm a sinful man. I'm not worthy to even be in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me so that I can walk into the throne room boldly. That's the gospel, that we're all sinners and we all have a separation between us and God. And the person that could fulfill that separation or mend that separation is Jesus Christ when he died for our sins. When we were enemies, right? When we were strangers, right? That's the gospel. That's the whole reason we do this, is so that people can come in here and get to that place of I am a sinful man. So it ends with the praise report. Let's keep going. Let's finish this off right here. It said, verse 9, for amazement had seized Peter and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. Keep going. And then it says, and so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were what? Partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men. And keep going. This is the last verse right here. It says, when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. That's the praise report, y'all. That's the praise report, a personal relationship of just allowing Jesus in the boat and allowing him to be Lord. And then whatever he calls on you to do, you do because he's Lord of your life, not just your fire insurance, but the actual Lord of your life. You respond to his word, you move. You move on that faith, and then the miracles start happening. And when the miracles start happening, there's nothing but praise, nothing but a praise report. So I want you to see this in this entire text. This is what I want you to take away from this. We're not going to 2 services because some divine voice parted the heavens and said, Rashad, it is now time for you to go to 2 services, 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 services. That's not why we're going to 2 services. I don't want to make this any kind of hocus pocus, nab it, blab it, claim it stuff at all. We're going to 2 services because when we see the miracle happening, which each and every one of you are here, are a part of a miracle right now. I mean, I'm pretty sure we just broke a record. That's a miracle to be breaking a record before Easter, okay? So all of you are a part of this miracle that we're witnessing. When we see the miracle, we respond to the miracle. We're responding to the Lord. We don't got some hocus pocus going on where we're like, I heard from the Lord that we need to go to 2 services and it's only 10 people in here, right? No. We're responding to what we see God doing. Remember, all we've taught about is the hand of the Lord is why you're here right now. The hand of the Lord is what keeps you coming back. The hand of the Lord is what's talking to you right now. I'm not that great of a speaker. You heard me stuttering up here and fumbling over my words. I don't even know if I said Gennesaret right or not, right? But what I do know is this. When I'm talking, you said God is speaking to you. You said God is speaking to you. You said God changed your life. I mean, Rachel accepted Christ. Come on. So what I'm saying is this right here. This is what I'm saying. We're going to two services, not just on Easter, but for good, because the hand of the Lord is at work and we are responding to his miracle. We're responding to his work. I'm asking you to partner in with that and be a part of that, because this is what's going to happen. You're going to have your own individual praise report. You're going to be in amazement. You're going to have the same thing that Jason has, that I have, and the other leaders of the church that we're going through. You're going to experience that for yourself when you're serving the children and you're seeing them come to Christ under your watch. Or when you're singing on the worship team, or when you're cleaning the church and you have to clean again in between services because people keep coming and God is just showing out. Amen. You're going to experience everything we're experiencing. And just know this. If that's not enough, there's more families like the Allens. There's more people who need this, what we have. Why would you want to keep it all bottled up to yourself? Why would you want to have everything we have here and keep it bottled up to yourself? That's not why we do this. So I'm asking you to partner in with us to get with the mindset that you're ready to change the world, because we will change it right here from Brownsburg, Indiana, I promise you, if everybody's all in. If everybody's all in and willing to go out into those deep waters, we're going to cast this net down and we ain't going to know what to do with ourselves. We ain't going to know what to do. We're going to be calling on more help, more partners. Amen? It is 10:43. God is working. I'm going to ask the worship team to start their way up here. God is working. And since Corey clocks me, even when I'm finishing, let me get this going. We need you to be partnered in with us, okay? This is what that looks like. We have 5 non-families. Even whether you could open your house or whether you could help facilitate, we're meeting after church today. We will feed you and just talk through what that looks like. Hey, if that's not for you, what can you do during the week? We have cleaning ministry. We have prayer warriors. We have people that just call and check in on other family members to make sure that they're doing okay. We have somewhere for you to serve. You just need to get with us and tell us you're ready to partner in with us. And if you haven't even let Jesus into the boat, if you don't even have that personal relationship, I'm asking you to come speak with me, or I'm asking you to come speak with God right here at the altar. You don't need to talk to me. You need to talk to him. But if you can't do that on your own, I'm right here to walk with you, and so is anybody else in this church. I promise you that. Let's be great for the kingdom today. Amen? Amen. Let's actually let Jesus in the boat and let him lead however he wants to lead, and we simply respond to what he's told us to do. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up and worship God right now.
This podcast is a ministry of Church on the Rock, building his body, breaking our barriers. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at www.churchontherockbb.com.